He believes that the Bible should come from Antioch, but his mentality comes from Antioch also. But then you got this. Let's see here. You've got a guy that believes the Bible is perfect and cannot be improved on. Is that the right mentality? And he's using an NIV. So he's a liar. No, he's not. You know what he is? He's a new convert. Oh, a lot of people just get saved. They got the wrong Bible. Didn't you know that? I mean, you just get saved. You don't know anything. You know what you know? You know the Bible is the absolute perfect Word of God. Didn't some of you know that? When you got saved, didn't you believe the Bible's perfect? And then somebody tried to give you a wrong Bible? You're not crooked. You were ignorant. You were innocent. You were a new convert. You say, well, what happens to this guy? You want to know? Depends on where he goes to church. And it depends on where he goes to college. And if he goes to the wrong place, he comes out like this. And if he goes to the right place, he comes out like this. This guy's no threat. Man, when this guy comes in, you know, he's got hair flown over his shoulders and flip-flops. And his NIV. You don't stop him at the door and say, hey, bro, I'm glad you're saved, but we don't allow that Bible here. No. Just let him come. And one day he'll say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And he'll go in that office over there and say, you know, when you get up and read from your Bible, it doesn't sound like mine. And, you know, you read over there, and when you read in Matthew 18, my Bible didn't even have verse 11. And then your pastor does his job, and he comes out like this. Well, you guys have no idea what... That pastor might have done that for some of you. He might, that pastor right there might have done that for some of you. Or some of you come from another church. Your pastor might have done that for you. That guy's no threat. I'll show you the guy that's a threat. This is the guy. That's the old KJV. He says, yeah, I use nothing but the old KJV. We don't allow none of them modern perversions. And then says, of course, everybody knows Easter's a mistranslation. And the italics were added by the translators. We don't; those aren't inspired. And you got to update some of those archaic King James words. Now, I'm a King James man, but I mean, I'm not a fanatic. And you hear that. And you say, what's wrong with that guy? He's got the right Bible. He has the right Bible. He has the wrong mentality. You know what we call this guy? He is the TR man. TR is for Textus Receptus. Textus Receptus is the Greek that your King James Bible comes from. And because just because a guy says the Textus Receptus is good, I hate to say this. Guys, I hate to say this. Dean Bergen, we refer to him quite frequently. But if Dean Bergen were alive today, he would say your pastor is right in agreeing with the Textus Receptus, but he's gone a little too far. And there are some scholars today, and I'm not going to, you'll have to wait for me to mention their names, but there are some scholars today that, brother, I talked with David Otis Fuller many, many years ago, and we were friends until he died. He was a good man. He insisted on writing the introduction to the Understandable History. And I was talking to him, and I've read his books, and he was a TR man. He was not a King James man. And in talking to him, I perceived he's a King James man. And I said, brother, you are a King James believer. You believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. He said, yes, I do. I said, you didn't, when you wrote which Bible, you didn't believe the TR. You believe the TR, not the King James. He said, that's right. And he said, I believe the TR was the best Greek, but I believed it could be corrected. And he said, but from studying over time, year after year after year, he said, I was converted to the King James position. And he said he was doing it in a college down in the States with another guy, which, like I said, you'd have to wait before I'd tell you his name. But they were both standing representing the Dean Bergen Society, and a student asked a question, and this other fella fielded the question. And now this guy's known around as being a King James guy. He's not a King James guy. He's a TR guy. You can get his books, and you'll get some good information that will defend the Textus Receptus. We will use their material because they'll have some good stuff on the Textus Receptus. But then they go weak-kneed when it comes to a perfect Bible. And a student asked this fella, what about this? And this guy said, well, now that's a good example of why we need an updated translation of the Textus Receptus. And David Otis Fuller, standing on the podium beside him, he looked over and he went, "We do not." And they got into an argument, and Fuller left the Dean Bergen Society because he believed the book. So guys, this is good, but this is the guy that messes you up. You know where you find this guy? He is running colleges all over the United States and around the world. You know what some of you parents are going to do? You're going to send your kid to some Bible college that's King James. And you're even going to call the guy personally. And he'll say, "Yeah, we don't let them perversions around here. We use nothing but the old KJV. And then your kid's going to walk in there, and he's going to be told the King James is a homosexual, that Erasmus was a good Roman Catholic, that the italics need to be taken out, that the archaic words need to be updated, and that Easter doesn't belong in the Bible, and that 1 John 5:7 is questionable. And your kid is going to come back from a King James school not believing the book he went believing, and you're going to wonder why, because they used the King James Bible. Yep, they sure did. They sure did. They used it. But they didn't believe it. Now, I've got to give this to you. I'm sorry, I told you this one is long. I've got to give this to you. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. I want you to get Deuteronomy chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 10. And as we go back, I want you to remember the answer to the question, who was the wisest man that ever lived? Come on. Solomon. Yeah, you did good. You did good. Don't worry. You're not going to get any trouble. Because they haven't found the body of the guy that made the mistake. So he's not going to correct anybody. And am I safe in saying that none of you think that none of you think you're wiser than Solomon? Right? Okay. Anybody here you think is his equal? Okay, so here's what I'm saying. See, I look at it like this way. If somebody smarter than me messes up someplace, then I think I better really tread lightly. If the smart guy can get messed up, I got to really watch myself. I want you to watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now, I want to warn you now. We're going to go from Deuteronomy to 1 Kings, back to Deuteronomy, back to 1 Kings. The reason I say that is because when I'm done with Deuteronomy, don't lose your place there. Keep your marker back and forth. We're going to be going back and forth. Look at verse 16. When it says they get a king, it says, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. So Solomon, in a manner, even though he wasn't around yet that he was talking about a king of Israel, which Solomon filled that bill later, then Solomon was told, don't go to Egypt for horses. Right? Okay, keep your place there, and go to 1 Kings chapter 10. Verse 28, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt. Does that sound like a little problem there? Is that kind of contradictory to what we just read that the king of Israel should not do? And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt in linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. I've often said this. Solomon was a used car dealer or a used horse dealer. Now, if you were a Bible believer in Solomon's time, can you see yourself going? And Solomon answers his door and goes, yeah, can I help you? Yeah, king. there's something kind of bothering me. Well, what? You know, I saw a ship. And it just came in, I saw it down at the harbor, and it just came in from Egypt, and it had horses. You want a good price. I'll get you a horse at a good price. Well, no, that's really not it. Well, so what's the problem? Well, you know, I was reading in Deuteronomy the other day, and it said that when we had a king, that's you, he shouldn't go to Egypt for horses, but you're going to Egypt for horses. And Solomon says, you're wiser than me. You're smarter than me. Well, no. Did God want you to be king or me? Well, you. So the Bible says I shouldn't go to horses for Egypt, right? Yeah. And I went to horses for Egypt, right? I went to Egypt for horses, right? Yeah. Has it hurt me? Well, no. Okay, then why don't you go mow your grass? Okay. Keep your place. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Mark that place, but go back to 1 Kings chapter 10. It said he should not multiply silver to himself, right? Look what it says in verse 27. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. I'd say that's multiple. You got a gravel parking lot. Could you imagine if your preacher said, hey man, they're bringing in a new load of gravel for the parking lot. It's silver ore. You go, I'm getting deep pockets. Now you say, preacher, they'll steal it. Not if every gravel parking lot in the city was silver. He said he made it like stones. Oh, yeah, I'm a little Bible scholar. It's the horses again? Well, no. Well, good. It's the silver. Oh, yeah, man, you see how much silver I brought in? Well, I mean, we're graveling the parking lots with the stuff. We got silver everywhere. Well, yeah, I know, King, but the Bible says that our king is not supposed to multiply silver to himself. And which one of us is king? Well, you are. And you're telling me I'm wrong? Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Well, okay, so I brought in silver. Bible says don't multiply silver. Has it hurt anybody? Well, no. I mean, it's the economy, stupid. Now get out of here. Okay. Didn't it say back in Deuteronomy he should not multiply gold to himself? 1 Kings chapter 10. Look at verse 16. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. 21. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold. 25, and they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold. Sounds like a lot of gold, doesn't it? You know how much? Look at verse 14. In 1 year, Solomon got 600, 360, and 6 talents of gold. That's 666. Do you know what Solomon is recorded as having said when he heard he got 666? Talents of gold. They say that when he heard that number, he went, am I glad the book of Revelation hasn't been written yet? Because that number didn't mean anything to him, but it meant something to you, didn't it? Didn't it? Oh, it's you again. Horses. Silver. So what's the problem now? Gold. Oh, you want gold? We got gold. No, King, no. The same passage that says you shouldn't multiply horses and you shouldn't multiply silver says that you, King, shouldn't multiply gold. Let's rehearse this again. Are you smarter than me? No, sir. Did God want you to be king or me? You, sir. Touch not God's anointed. Get out of here. Don't ever come back. That's the wisest man that ever lived, right? Yep. Oh, yeah, you better go back, keep your place, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives. Keep your place there. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. How come I can see these women? I mean, when it just says strange women, how come I can see them? I can see them with their hair standing up, purple tips, orange roots, you know, rings here, tattoos here. I mean, can you see these women? Look at this. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of who? Pharaoh's king of where? Can I give you some gift logic? This is not Bible. But it just, if you shouldn't go here for a horse. If you're not going to buy a used car from the guy, why would you marry his daughter? And why would you use his NIV? Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these, hey, young ladies. See those two wonderful words? In love. We're in love. Yeah. But he's a drug dealer. But we're in love. But he said he's going to come to church with you. He's not going to come to church with you. But we're in love. You know what this proves? You have to remember this. It proves you can be in love and it not be of God. We have pain. I like romance, man. I am in love with my wife. And she is in love with me madly. Thoughtlessly, mindlessly. Oh, anyway. I'm honest. I'm not into this, you know, into this buy a wife from a guy and, you know, we two dads decide to purchase a bride. I'm not for that. I like love. But just because you're in love doesn't mean God's in it. Now, if some of you are already married, you're in it now. I've often said this. Look what it says, verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. Whoa. Solomon fell in love with 1,000 women. I've always said he had a very low threshold for love. He'd be standing by a couple of guys and go, wow. Wow, look at her. I'm in love with her. Man, I want to marry her. What? I already did? 2 years ago, number 857. Are we happy? Man, Solomon didn't fall in love. Solomon fell in love and 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 in love. All I think about is 1,000 mother-in-laws. Locusts are not that kind of a plague. I would embrace locusts. You guys, you're not being nice to your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was in a movie. She was in a movie. Yeah, she was. She was where a house fell on her sister. Anyway, you'll figure that one out. But he was smart. Was he Solomon wise man? He was wise, wasn't he? You saw what he called him, didn't he? Princess. Well, who can remember 1,000 names? Hi, this is my wife, Mary. Betty. Just joking. Where's Mary? You guys who can't remember your anniversary, you know what Solomon did? He knew he had on average 3 a day. He just had to find out whose they were. I got this for anniversary. Tomorrow. Right. I knew. I just wanted to see it. Can't have it yet. You know how he'd introduce these girls? He go, after a while he's got it. He go, this is my wife. She's my princess. The guy was smart. Look at verse 3. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, would you young men, would you read the next words? When Solomon was old. Now I am going to recommend something that's going to sound foolish to these young guys. And the young girls too, but the young guys. I tell you, you ought to have some convictions. And you ought to get some stupid convictions. Get some stupid convictions. Say, what stupid convictions? Well, you know, you heard Brother Farley talking about cowboy boots and wire-rimmed glasses. I was talking to a preacher one time, and this is what he said. He said, when I first got saved, I heard that the devil was a bull. You know, above all cattle. So he said, I thought that cowboy boots were of the devil. And preached that. You say, well, that's foolish. Oh, wait a second. When he's telling me this, he's wearing cowboy boots. He's a compromiser. No. He was a young kid. And he had a bunch of good convictions, and he had some stupid ones. I'm telling you guys, get a bunch of convictions and one or two stupid ones. If you parents, if you young people, if you see these young people with some crazy conviction, let them alone. Because when you get old, you lose some. That guy lost a stupid conviction. He thought cowboy boots were the devil. Now he no longer does. But when he was a young man, he thought the King James Bible was the Word of God. And today, not wearing cowboy boots, he still thinks the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. He kept his good one, and he shed the dumb one. Let these young guys have stupid convictions. Really, let them just go, I can't believe. That's okay. Down the road, they'll shed those, and they'll keep the good ones. Because I'm here to tell you, I've been doing this for 40 years. You get tired. You get tired of fighting, just from fighting. You get tired. And with 1,000 women nagging him about going to their church, they turned away his heart when he was old. When he was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a house, build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Do you know how you sacrifice and worship Molech? Molech was a big statue like this, and right here was fire, and you took your baby and threw him in. That was before they had, you know, partial birth abortion or any kind of abortion. Could I give you a challenge? Find the lineage of Solomon in the Bible. 1,000 wives, right? Okay, if one was barren, surely one of them had two kids. Don't you think he could have had at least a minimum of 900, maybe 1,000 kids? He could have had Third Chronicles to himself. And so where is it? He killed them. You know why he killed them? Because he ignored something that said, don't go to Egypt for a horse. Remember I told you the other day, if you were listening, the trouble starts when you violate the scripture that says, abstain from the appearance of evil. You go to the bar and you buy the hamburger, and you go to the bar and you buy the hamburger and the Coke. You go to the bar and you buy the hamburger and the Coke, and the eighth time through, you buy the hamburger and the beer. But it started the first time when you violated the scripture. I want to show you one last thing, and I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry for this being long, but this has to all be put together. Go back to Deuteronomy 17. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, you saw the things that the king was told not to do, correct? And he ignored all of them, correct? Let's see what he was told to do, which I'll bet you he ignored this too. Verse 18. Deuteronomy 17, 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Boy, I bet the word of God would be precious too if you wrote it out by hand yourself. No, I'm not telling you to do that. You can just buy a copy. Don't worry. It's not going to be more the word of God if you handwrite it. But in those days, that's how you got it. I'll bet it means something to you. Why should he write this copy out? And he shall read, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Was King Solomon told to read his Bible every day? But you know who this is written to? This isn't written to King Solomon. This is written to somebody that's going to be the king, right? Am I not talking to a bunch of people who hope someday to reign with Christ as kings? Then does that not make you not yet kings? Then maybe you ought to read this book every day. Why should you read it every day? Preachers, here's a 5-point message. Read therein all the days of his life. One, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Two, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and to do them. Three, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Four, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. You know what we think? We think the left is bad, so the right is good. No, no, no. You don't want to go left, and you don't want to go right. I heard somebody say this one time. You know what's wrong with the left wing and the right wing? They're both flapping on the same bird. Do you know that a leftist and a rightist disagree in just about everything? A guy on the left thinks gun control is him coming to your house and taking your gun. Now, he has one, but him taking your gun is gun control. A guy on the right, you know what he thinks gun control is? That's hitting what you aim at. The guy on the left and the guy on the right disagree about unions, they disagree about wages, they disagree about government, they disagree about abortion, they disagree about everything. But you know those wings, when that bird is out like this, those wing tips are as far as they can be. But as the wings come together, they do join, right? I mean, they do come together on the same bird, right? Do you know where the guy on the left and the guy on the right is the same today? The one thing they agree on, both hate Israel. Over here on the left, you're killing babies, and over here on the right, you're not. But when you get here, you both want those Jews dead. And that book said, you read this book so you don't end up on the left or the right. We don't want you with a hammer and sickle, but we don't want you with a swastika either. And look at number 5, to the end. Now look at this. To the end, they may prolong the days of his kingdom, he and his children. In the midst of Israel. Solomon was told not to go to Egypt for horses. Wiser, smarter than you, went to Egypt for horses. Solomon was told, don't multiply silver or gold. Wiser than you, he did it. Don't multiply wives, he did it. Smarter than you, correct? Chosen of God to reign over God's chosen people, correct? Turned Israel into a great world empire, did he not? Smarter than you. But when the smartest man that ever lived violated the scripture, he paid with his family. I don't believe he ever wrote that book, and I don't believe he ever read it. And he killed his own kids. I wonder how many people walk in your country who have killed their own kids. I wonder how many people in our country. We talk about World War II, what, 25 million people died in World War II. I think in the United States, we're somewhere up around 115 million babies murdered. Under legal abortion. And guys, here's what I'm telling you. If the wisest man that ever lived ignored the scripture that told him to read that book every day, and he ignored that, where are you going to get away with it? And who do you think you are that you're going to go to Egypt to get an education? Or you're going to go to Egypt to get a book? Why do you think you can do what somebody smarter than you couldn't get away with? So guys, the place to get Bible manuscripts is Antioch. You know why? Not because Sam Gibbs says so. Because your final authority showed you its opinion of Alexandria and Egypt and showed you its opinion of Antioch and Syria. If you want to go someplace for a Bible, you go to Antioch. If you want to go someplace for a mentality, you go to Antioch. It doesn't matter what your college professor says. It doesn't matter what the godly man that led you to Christ says. It doesn't matter what you can get some points on academia. Guys, be true to that book. And just as a sidebar, all you people who would be kings, read it every day. Because I think the wisest man that ever lived didn't. And it cost him his whole family. And that was a big family. We're gonna have a word of prayer. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in here. What time do you want back in here? Okay, when piano starts playing, let's have a word of prayer.